Changing Life Behind Bars. The Russian author Fyodor Dostoevsky once wrote, "The degree of civilization in a society can be judged by entering its prisons." He knew more about incarceration than most writers, having spent 4 years in a filthy, flea-ridden prison camp as a punishment for discussing banned literature. But that was back in the dark days of the 19th century. Surely, a typical prison has changed a lot since then. That may depend on what you consider the purpose of prison to be. It is generally agreed that there are 4 main reasons for locking up criminals. Incapacitation, protecting the public by removing offenders from communities. Retribution, punishing offenders in a way that is proportionate to their crimes. Deterrence, using the threat of a prison sentence to discourage people from breaking the law. And rehabilitation, giving offenders the education, skills, and psychological support they need to stop offending when released. However, different societies place different emphasis on these 4 reasons. Rehabilitation may have been distinctly lacking in Dostoevsky's prison experience, but it's front and center in the approach taken by some of today's prisons. Bastøy Prison is on an island off the coast of Norway. Its inmates have committed serious crimes, including murder, yet there are no prison cells, no fences, and only a skeleton staff overnight. The prisoners do 35 hours of work a week, and for the rest of their time, they are free to play tennis, watch TV in their cozy cottages, or relax on the beach. It may sound more like a holiday camp than a prison, but the aim at Bastøy is to make life in custody resemble life on the outside as closely as possible. The authorities don't turn a blind eye to the risk to society that these violent criminals pose. Before they come to Bastøy's low security environment, each inmate will have spent several years in an institution where they were locked up for several hours a day. They will only have been transferred to Bastøy when they were nearing their release date. The Bastøy guards are supportive, unarmed, and non-confrontational, and the inmates follow their lead. They are encouraged to develop self-discipline, a valuable attribute when they re-enter society. And the results are impressive. While former inmates of most prisons have a 50 to 70% chance of reoffending within 3 years of release, Bastøy bucks the trend, with a reoffending rate of just 16%. However, some experts are sceptical about the influence of prison conditions on this success. They point instead to the excellent follow-up support that ex-prisoners from Bastøy receive, which enables them to step up to the mark and meet the challenges of post-prison life unfazed. Over in Spain, another prison is trying to capitalize on the fact that, according to research, prisoners who maintain strong family links are more likely to stay out of prison on their release. Aranjuez Prison is the only prison in the world that allows both male and female inmates to live with their young children. The prison has 36 family cells with cots for children up to the age of 3. There's a playground and a nursery which the children go to while their parents work or attend classes. In the evening, the family reunites, and at 9 p.m, they're locked up together until morning. Supporters say this unusual arrangement gives the inmates the chance to develop good parenting skills and form the strongest bond possible with their children. However, others disagree. They point out that it goes against the grain to allow kids to grow up without the stimulation of a normal childhood environment, and that when the children have to leave the prison at the age of 3, the separation from their parents can cause them serious emotional problems. They are also concerned that some inmates try to get pregnant again before the first child turns 3 to avoid having to move back into the general prison population. One thing that Bastoy and Aranquith have in common is their emphasis on rehabilitation. However, the costs involved in these sorts of programs are high, and most prisons need to think outside the box to find affordable ways of helping their inmates. Byron Garcia, a security advisor at a detention center in the Philippines, was spurred into action by a Hollywood movie. In a scene from The Shawshank Redemption, the prison yard is suddenly filled with the sound of opera music, and the prisoners stop to listen and feel uplifted. Garcia wondered if his prison too could use music as a form of therapy. So one day, he played some rock music over the loudspeakers in the prison yard. Some of the prisoners present started dancing, and soon others joined in. Eventually, the inmates were doing 4 hours of dance practice a day, and many found that it took their minds off their problems. It also led to some impressive dance routines. So Garcia then took the initiative and shared some videos of the dancing prisoners online. The spectacle of 1,500 people in orange jumpsuits moving in sync to Michael Jackson's Thriller went viral. The world's press took up the story, and fans started making donations to support the inmates. Garcia was overjoyed at the success of his initiative, but not everyone reacted positively to it. A few of the prisoners felt resentful when the dancing became compulsory and claimed that if they refused to toe the line and participate, they were given harsh punishments. The politicians responsible for the prison also said that the publicity around the dancing would distract from the more serious aspects of rehabilitation. So eventually, the authorities had to bow to pressure and stop posting the videos. The dancing continued, but only as an optional exercise activity. If our prisons reflect society, then perhaps these examples show we are becoming more focused on unlocking human potential. By focusing on rehabilitation rather than retribution, prisons increasingly aim to foster offenders' capacity to do good rather than punish their capacity to do bad. Dostoevsky would definitely approve.